mind at the time. It had not occurred to me to get you on as a guest because I didn't know if people would think I was crazy or something, but in the weeks since, it has been the topic that people have remembered and have asked me the most about. So I said, well, this week, let's get this guy on. And so what I want to ask you first and foremost is give us a little background about yourself, how you got involved with this subject, and then where and how that led you to the website.
A number of years ago, I was taking a scientific look at some of the information coming across from people who had said that they had abductions and such, and I started hearing one or two people given a description that was quite a departure from what I was hearing normally. Most of the time you'll hear individuals talk about seeing craft and anomalous flying objects, and on occasion somebody will say that they've actually seen a creature or encountered one. Now, even though I would say about 90 to 95% of the stories are misidentifications or falsifications, there's still 5% of them that kind of compelled me to continue working onwards. And these stories I started hearing are about were from people that talked about seeing something that looked half human and half reptile. And to me, that just seemed to be a carryover from like the 1980s V and stories like that, where television shows were showing characters like that. And I thought this was just being born from people's imagination. But the problem was is that the seriousness of it took a turn when I started encountering an individual or two that had no idea of each other's existence from completely different states. They weren't individuals that were, you know, part of UFO networks or anything like that. And their stories started to be just identical to each other, all the way down to some of the minor details of their accounts. Now, this really kind of pushed me onward. And through the years, I've been recognizing that, number one, what we perceive as aliens, the majority of which we perceive as aliens, may not actually be from off our planet, but may be alternate life forms that live underground here on Earth. They're just extensions of Earth's own biology that live in hidden ecological niches deep underground.
Well, let me interject for a second, because I can relate to that, because I was watching cable late one night and they did a story on the bottom of the sea, and I think they were 6,000 feet in the ocean, and they were finding plant life and organisms that were living without sunlight, and I thought that was fascinating. And some of these things, the way they look, it's not out of the realm that there could be other creatures, be they out in outer space or still on this Earth as yet undiscovered, that look as hideous as these things do.
They do look completely unconventional. The scientists, we have a name for them. They're called extremophiles. Extremophiles are creatures that live in extreme conditions. In other words, conditions that we wouldn't normally think of as being hospitable to any kind of life.
Right.
And deep underneath the oceans, we found that certain life forms actually gather near volcanic vents, because even though the deepest parts of the ocean are ice cold, near these volcanic vents, there seems to be this thermal layer down there in which they can survive, and they've learned to live quite well down there. Now, we've only discovered, scientists have only cataloged about 2% of life, 2 to 5% of life on Earth. Now think about that. We've only got records and taken pictures of and given names to about 2 to 5% of all life on Earth, which means that there's somewhere between 150 to 200 million animals out there we have yet to even encounter to write down in the scientific catalogs to say this is an animal that we recognize as being real. A number of years ago, things like the Komodo dragon was just a piece of fictional history. So was the Highland gorillas of the Congo.
Right.
And it didn't take but a few explorers to go out to these remote regions to actually encounter them. All of a sudden, hey, there's new generations now. They've always been around. No, they haven't. It wasn't so long ago that these were just, you know, fanciful, fictitious reports coming in from people that were taken just with about as bout of Mitch Assault as somebody saying they'd seen a flying saucer.
All right, so let's get back on track, which is leading up to your website. So you
I started
to find that there were some facts to the stories, or some some meat to the bones of the stories you were hearing. So
right, and there were a lot of accounts there and very credible people. Back in 1988 in Bishopville, South Carolina, for example, there was a town that had a rash of sightings of something they called the Lizard Man. And there were mixed reports saying he looked a little bit more like Bigfoot, but the close-up encounters reported that he had feet that had three toes, like that of a lizard, and he had scales. One of the eyewitnesses happened to be a full-blooded, full-bird colonel in the Army Corps of Engineers that was about to be promoted to general that reported this sighting as he was driving along one night with his wife. This creature ran up alongside his vehicle doing an excessive, I think, 30 miles an hour, and his wife woke up to see it run off away from the vehicle. Now, this kind of an eyewitness is a very credible eyewitness. It's not somebody that's going to throw away his career in a promotion to a full general position by handing in some sort of a wild account. Now, you start hearing these stories, and then we started picking up there was some scientific support in it. A paleontologist by the name of Dale Russell, he is with the North Carolina State Museum of Natural Sciences. A number of years ago, he did what he called a thought experiment. And he took the most advanced dinosaur 65 million years ago, which was called Troodon, and he looked at where its fossilized evidence of where its body had looked like in the past, and he calculated this out on a computer and then projected it forward, saying if it had been allowed to live past the devastation 65 million years ago, what would have it looked like? And the form that these scientists came out with was something more human-like than it was a traditional dinosaur. It was upright, its head was right where ours is, it had its two arms and two legs standing completely upright, it maintained its dinosaur or saurian features, but at the same time it had this humanoid form to it. Now this is exactly what we've been hearing in modern reports, and this is identical to the oldest reports, even going back to the Garden of Eden in the Genesis accounts, where they talk about Adam and Eve in a garden talking to a serpent, where it could speak to Adam and Eve, and the oldest Jewish accounts that are the older translations actually report that the serpent was not an ordinary snake. It stood upright on two legs and had two arms like that of a man.
Okay, let me stop you right there. This is kind of a two-pronged question. You're going into similarities between reptiles and these reptiles and humans, and talking about the evolution of the species. Now, when everything was... I read what you were talking about. Wasn't it all upset by a meteor strike or something like that?
65 million years ago down in the Yucatan when a meteor hit.
Right. Okay, so would that have pretty much stopped the species evolution right there? And then why are humans then, why are we thought to have evolved from apes?
Well, we did evolve from apes, but even before that, apes evolved from an earlier life form. And when you look back really in ancient times, all of us evolved, all mammals evolved from the early reptiles. It's just that there came a split in time where the cranium changed shape, and one line of these creatures became mammals or proto-mammals and then mammals, and the others became true reptiles.
That's fantastic. Now, these reptoids, if they live underground, and I'm going somewhere with this. Are they cold-blooded, though? Wouldn't they be cold underground? Wouldn't they want to be out in the sun and then thereby be seen more?
Well, it depends, because, you know, the underground you maintain a more constant temperature than you do on the surface. On the surface, we have cold winters. Underground, you get a thermal... you maintain your thermal core at about 67 to 72 degrees. And if you find an underground cavern or cave system that's near geothermal vents, for example, near thermal hot springs and stuff like that, you can live quite well down in there. Now, would these beings be cold-blooded? That's hard to determine, because there's even a great debate now whether or not the dinosaurs were fully cold-blooded, because they were reaching more further upright. They were reaching more of an upright stance. And actually, according to paleobiology, the body actually works better with energy when it's more upright, and the heart is pumping in an upright form rather than a lateral form. So we could be talking about something that's either more warm-blooded or half-warm-blooded, like a proto-warm-blooded animal. Or we could be talking about something like a platypus, which still lays eggs, but it's still a mammal.
Right.
Remember, there's still mammals that they're darn near reptiles. It's hard to tell the difference, really, because there's a crossover between the way its body is actually constructed.
What would these reptoids eat? Would they eat underground, or would they eat mammals like like cows? You hear about these cows mutilations and stuff.
The mutilation's a little bit of a different issue, but we're talking about there could have, a long time ago, just as mammals evolved from primates to become intelligent, not far behind them or ahead of them could possibly have some of these dinosaurs or reptiles have also started to branch out to reach this upright form. Could we have evolved alongside each other, but just in different ecological niches? Now, we have all the food sources on the surface of the planet, but if you're a civilization or a species that's grown up mostly underground in huge cavern systems with fresh water and different fungal life forms like mushrooms and cavefish and different things like that, yeah. I'm sure that you would eventually adopt some sort of artificial light and start growing things and start raising things of your own. Now, could they be actually getting stuff from us? There's a great deal of debate over that. Some people believe that our government, who is working hand in hand with some of the hierarchy of their own civilization underground, are actually trading things, and one of the trade-offs we might be doing is providing food resources to them by secretly moving large pallets of food and everything from our food network up here into underground tunnel systems.
Okay, and that's what I want to stop you right there, because your website is very well put together and you've got a wealth of information, and I'm loving this. How do you feel about that scenario as far as our government's communicating with these beings?
I believe it is happening.
Really?
Yes, I believe that we are, before we discover aliens from outer space, humanity is going to come across a realization, and it's going to be revealed one day that there are other intelligent beings or even descendants of lost civilizations living underneath our surface in large cavern systems deep underground. That'll be the first real big revelation, even before we start saying something about outer space. And to tell you the truth, you know what? For us to, before Kenneth Arnold, 1947, most of the literature and most of human imagination was actually thinking about lost civilizations underground in caverns and caves. Our whole science fiction, before it was really science fiction, like down at the time of Jules Verne, everything was pointed underground.
Well, that's why I started this segment with the Godzilla trailer from the movie.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But maybe it's time that we reverse our perspective, and instead of relying on scientists our government's the only one that can tell us what's in outer space, because we don't have those huge telescopes in our backyard. We don't have the spaceships to go out there, and it's really beyond our reach. Why don't we start refocusing back on even our own backyard or the field back there?
Well, it's said
behind us.
It's said that we know less about the surface of the ocean. In fact, I heard this on that cable show. Than we do. We know less about the what's below the surface of the ocean than we do the face of the moon.
Absolutely. And isn't it ridiculous that we're spending so much money trying to take pictures of the farthest reaches of outer space, money that could be doing things to help us prepare, for example, to adapt to global warming environments, or even looking for other intelligent species underground here?
Well, I agree with that to an extent, but I have a feeling there's something in outer space, because, like I said, and I don't want to get too far off track here, but I love going to these websites about Mars and the dark side of the moon and stuff. There may be something about space that our governments are very anxious to figure out.
Yeah, but are they really going to ever share that information with us? It was that mind-blowing? Do you think they're going to turn around and tell us? Look what they've kept secret from us so far.
Oh, I understand, and I don't...
All they're going to do is say, here's another pretty picture. It was worth the $500 billion we spent to get it.
Yeah, and we photoshopped it for you.
That's right. We couldn't get color, so we just kind of put some in there.
Right. Now, getting back to the underground, is there a secret cave in the Grand Canyon? Or, well, I guess if it was known, it wouldn't be a secret. But I've heard and or read about a secret entrance to a vast array of underground caverns via the Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon is actually made of a limestone that is actually really porous, and there's a lot of caves and caverns in there. Back in 1909, the Smithsonian Institution discovered a large underground city that was large enough to house about 50,000 people underground. They said it was going to be one of the most amazing discoveries of humankind as far as the archaeological record. And instead of sharing it with everybody, they decided to climb it up and keep it quiet. And as a matter of fact, they even printed it up in the front page of the Arizona Gazette newspaper on April 5th, 1909. Now, the Smithsonian Institution will tell you it was an April Fool's joke. Now, they don't kind of explain how it happened on April 5th and not April 1st. In addition to that, the newspaper has no record of ever admitting an April Fool's joke or having a retraction or even a saying we enjoyed playing the good joke on everybody.
Right.
The story was just dropped, and it was really, I believe, kind of controversial because a lot of the Freemasons and individuals like that and the Knights Templars that still have organizations today, a lot of that ancient history they like to keep to themselves, and
yes.
just let us have the school books like we have it. We're just simple-minded people. We're just numbered eaters that don't deserve to know the truth because we wouldn't appreciate it. Now, this is from their perspective, not mine.
Right.
You know, so they
why wouldn't we appreciate it? Why wouldn't the secret of all mankind, the Holy Grail, so to speak, why wouldn't that interest us? Maybe they're not interested in sharing it with us.
Well, you know what it comes down to? It comes down to this. It comes down to the fact that some men in these fraternal organizations become like children on the playground, where children says something to you like, I have a secret, and I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Right.
They get joy out of that. They get a sense of power out of that.
Now, what do you know about the tunnels beneath Los Angeles?
There was a mining engineer by the name of Shufelt that back in the 1930s had said that he had heard rumors from the Hopis, who by the way claim that they come from an underground city in the Grand Canyon. they claim that a large tunnel system extended out under Los Angeles, and some of these lizard people, they called them, they also called them their elder brothers, because these are beings that they have never had conflict with that actually act as guides for them. So they're not adversarial to mankind in that region of the world. These beings apparently lived underground there, and Shufelt reported this to the Los Angeles Times. It was actually printed up a huge story back in the 30s to the Los Angeles Times about it, in which he said that these tunnel systems are all around under L.A., some of the older parts of L.A. Well, that might be the case, but you know, if anybody would have found them, it would have been the Chinese, because those guys who put the railroad together back in the earliest part of this last century,
right.
Those guys had huge networks of tunnels underground, and if they were to break through a wall of something that led to, you know, something like a serpent people or an ancient underground world like that, they would be the last ones to tell the white man about it as well. So things are layered in secrecy, you know.
Okay, and here's a question, and you may know the answer to. There's a guy that I found on the internet, and I lost track of him, and he was fascinating. He was apparently worked for the Department of the Navy at 14 years of age and had contact with these reptile people, and was an advocate of the government working hand in hand with the reptile people. But I lost his name somewhere. Do you know of anybody that fits that description? He's like a super genius kid.
Not really, although when I first brought this information out back in the early 1990s, nobody was talking about it.
Right.
I mean, there was just no conversation. You can get in the internet and you could type up the word alien and reptile or reptilian or anything like that. You might get one or two hits, and that was about it. Now you do it, you get hundreds of thousands of hits.
Yeah.
And the stories have grown. People have brought up, have had real cases, and real people have come forward. There's been a lot of individuals that have wanted to get in front of a camera or in front of a microphone just out of their own, to massage their own egos, and they've
right.
manufactured stories. And then there are cases in which people are not sure what they've had happen, because there's a psychological aspect to this whole phenomenon as well that goes back to archetypes, like Jungian archetypes, and how it's connected to the reptilian part of our brain, and how that is expressed at nighttime when we dream. And sometimes people have these visions, and they're not sure if it was an external thing born out of reality, manifested being standing in front of them, or if it was something that occurred while they were asleep at night. But it motivated them, and it motivates them spiritually to becoming a better person, or sometimes a worse. There's really no in-between area. It's just the way that we react to them. The sad thing is, I must tell you, is that because human beings are predominantly predisposed to being afraid of a snake or a reptile.
Yeah, I don't. I hate snakes.
Yeah, well,
I love lizards, though. I had chameleons when I was a kid, and I do.
You did?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Well, because of our ancestry, when we were early mammals, small mammals, there was something in our genetic memory that has been passed down to us to say that, hey, if a reptile comes around, look the hell out, because you're going to be on its dinner plate. Now, of course, here we are millions and millions of years later, but still that's stacked back in the back of our heads. There's no reason why about 50% of us have an unnatural and an unreasonable and unjustifiable fear of snakes. They've done studies with this.
Yeah.
They've exposed children to snakes. They've never even seen a snake before, and children tend to be a little bit more frightened of them as they would maybe some other type of farm animal that they've never seen.
See, that's very interesting, because you'll rarely find a kid who at first sight is afraid of a kitten or a puppy. And see, that's why I wanted you on. You see, you back up your arguments with some solid stuff. That's a very interesting point about the snakes.
Well, there's a lot of solid, logical type of deductive reasoning that you can get and still be okay with the idea of saying that there might be some other life form out here. You know, when you think about it, if you grab the idea of another alien being having evolved from Earth on Earth with us, but just outside our reach and outside our scope of vision, then the whole argument that people put up, all these scientists on these, you know, talking heads that get on, like, you know, the talk shows on ABC and CBS and NBC and stuff, when they bring up the whole thing about the Drake equation and how it's impossible for something to fly from the farthest reaches of space here in that short a time, without getting into the dimensional aspect of it, but when you think about it, if you appreciate the idea of something else having just been living here with us all the time, and that maybe they're just coming up from tunnel systems, flying around and then going back, then that whole argument that they're pushing against ufology to make it look stupid on public TV is thrown completely out the window.
Right. Now, I want to stop you, because you were talking about the fact about the brains and about the brain and the natural repulsion to snakes. And I had read somewhere, maybe on your site, about the similarities between the human skull and a reptile skull. Can you elaborate on that?
A long time ago, when the fish came up on the land.
Right.
Athenostega, which is the first walking fish, it just kind of puddle jumped up and just went back and forth. After that, there were the amphibians, but the amphibians had to stay close to the water, because they laid soft-shelled eggs and they needed moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, reptiles came along. Now, because it laid a hard-shelled eggs, reptiles could go further and further inland and explore and suddenly get away from the oceans and hit inland lakes and inland streams in order to expand and move outwards. Now, according to evolutionary biology as it's recognized today, all other life forms on Earth with a backbone, all other land vertebrates, are evolved from those early reptiles. They just split off. It kept branching out, okay. Just like a fractal. It just kept branching out and moving and changing and moving and growing and growing, and different life forms started looking more and more differently all the time. How were we to know that, hey, just recently we realized that birds were evolved dinosaurs. They survived the impact 65 million years ago. But if you pluck feathers out of a parrot, darn thing starts looking like a little dinosaur. I mean, it's flesh.
Yeah, you're right.
With scales on it, you'd be going, hey, man, that thing looks like a little dinosaur running around. So some of the dinosaurs did survive. But nature keeps changing things, and things keep adapting, and that's the beautiful, that's the intelligence within nature itself. It keeps adapting, and it keeps moving and changing.
Well, I think...
So it's hard to recognize something and relate it to what it was to what it is now.
Yeah, and I think... being as evolved as we are, human beings, that it would be kind of naive to whatever created us to think that we're the only one of that type of thing that was created. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, when I've never seen a UFO, but I strongly suggest that there's another race out there of alien people, alien only because we don't know who they are. That's really the meaning of the word. But it would be naive to think that we're the only people in the entire universe.
We're not.
But let me...
That's just the bottom line. We're not, and it's just, we're babes in the woods, and we're violent babes in the woods. That's why everybody's scared to approach us.
Yeah, that's true. And now, do you believe in the morphing thing? I forget what people...
Shape-shifting?
Are, yeah, shape-shifting. Tell me more about that. That's a little far out. That's on the fringe, you know, that our highest leaders of world government shapeshift. A lot of
your listeners, once they hear this, they're going to go on the Internet and they're going to start doing a search. What they're going to find out is there's a huge body of people out there that have been hearing certain conspiracy speakers try to convince everybody that we're victims to these rulers, and these rulers are genetically connected with an ancient reptilian alien species, and you know they're not really human because they've been known to shapeshift. And you look on YouTube and people say they see the eyes go vertical and people are shapeshifting. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. What I am saying, a lot of that is like a witch hunt that's going on. People are scared. And people have been whipped up into a frenzy, and people are willing to see anything that their fear will entertain them with. And there are cases in which people have seen something change shape. However, when we say that it's all our leaders that are shapeshifters, and here's the evidence of it, and you hear all these stories about these satanic rituals in which George Bush was at in the
right, in the skull and bones.
I am telling you right now that couldn't be a bigger bunch of crap than could be laid behind an elephant. Okay, because all that I shoot straight from the hip.
Yeah,
and I hold no bars. What you have here going on is you have people whipping up into a frenzy, and when people like to feel that we're victims of some overt power. And you know what? Those alien beings out there in that Galactic Federation, I mean, the really good guys, they're sitting there with their chins on their hands. They're going, when are these guys going to grow up and take responsibility for even their own evil against each other without blaming it on another alien species?
Right. That's a really good point.
Right. We've been so evil to each other. And it didn't take a reptilian to do it, and it didn't take some sort of an occupation by some sort of a discarnate dimensional being in order to make people do it. Everybody out there, everybody listening, has the ability to have a Jesus within them is the same thing as have a devil within them.
Right.
Just a matter of where they press psychologically at that moment and where does their heart lie. And, yes, our leaders are not leading us down a good path. But it doesn't mean that they're aliens.
Right. Now, here's the thing. I wrote this question a couple hours ago, so, and it might answer itself. Do you think that these reptile people are against us or evil against us? Do you think maybe we feed them so that they won't come up and just take over?
No, if they wanted to come up and take over, they would have done it a long time ago.
Okay.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, just like there are bad humans and good humans, there are bad reptilians or reptoids and good ones.
Sure.
I don't think that it's a matter of saying that certain species is a certain way. Why should humans be so selectively different where only we hold a dualistic nature within our expression of spirituality? These other guys do too. Now, you might say that our leaders and our government, you know, we tend to be more aggressive. We're a military state nation, and we tend to dominate through military aggression around the world. That's a fact. You know, but so does that mean that we're all that way? Does that mean that we don't have any artists?
Right.
Or you know, or musicians, or children, or wives? No, what we're doing is we're encountering most of the beings we're encountering on from these other civilizations are most likely engineers, scientists, military type. These are not the ones that we would say would express the finer artistic or soft-sided qualities of whatever species they represent. Huh. We don't send our artisans to Mars on the first spaceship. And if Martians were to encounter them, I'd hate to have them to go, oh my God, these SEAL mercenaries and these guys with no compassion that are grabbing us, these must be what all these things are like from that planet. Let's bomb them.
Let's kill them.
Right. Shoot first, dissect, then ask questions.
Well, shoot, John, I've had you on for half an hour. I could probably have you on for another hour. But what I want to do is I want to be able to contact you in the future regarding any of these things as they further develop. I mean,
feel free to.
You're very, a very interesting person. Why don't you go ahead and give any plugs out that you want right now?
The only plugs I got is go to the website, www.reptoids.com. You can also, at abovetopsecret.com, I have a blog on there in which sometimes I check in with and hold conversations on. And I will be appearing for anybody that's listening out in the Washington, D.C. area that might be out in San Francisco in September 27th, 28th. I'll be over at the Bay Area UFO Expo in Santa Clara.
Awesome. And you probably haven't written any books. I didn't see that you had, but do you have a definitive book that will help people like myself, you know, get a deeper interest in this? Because that's the one thing, I see books on your website. I don't know which one maybe to pick up.
That's a good question, because everybody seems to be so slanted in different areas.
Oh, well, then I'll have to do it on my own.
Yeah, I would just have to say that individuals should just go out there and clock into some works that are perhaps like some of the metaphysicians like Blavatsky. Madame Blavatsky, she was a theologian back in the 1880s, and her book, The Secret Doctrine, has some interesting chapters in there. And I think that if anybody starts just exploring into the impact of how the serpent image has been on ancient spirituality and religions, they'll start recognizing that it's one of the least understood yet most psychologically empowering subjects that could ever explore as far as in the lifetime.
Well, there you go. Well, my guest has been John Rhodes from Reptoids, with an S, reptoids.com. John, thanks again.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
I'll shoot you an email soon, okay?
Look forward to it. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Well, there you have it, everybody. You asked, I delivered. Your reptile people, reptoids.com. I mean, come on. That guy was interesting. I could have had him on longer, but Lord, I would get all over the place. You don't want that. You don't want me and one guy talking about reptile people for an hour, and then UFO people for an hour, and then the men from Mars for an hour, and then Bigfoot for an hour, and then flying saucers for an hour, and don't get me started on ghosts, because ghosts, I can go all night on ghosts. Anyway, Joe Radio, 106.7 WGFK. So what do you think? You think it's too far-fetched? Maybe you've seen a lizard person. Like I said, I've never seen a UFO, never seen a lizard person. I have seen...
To fear is
lizard people. But I have seen ghosts. I'm convinced that I have seen ghosts. So there you go. Maybe you've seen a UFO. Call me 800-636-1067. We got some time left. Let's have some fun. Call me and tell me what you think about the reptile people, about your politicians. And, the Oscars are tomorrow night. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that on Joe Radio 106.7 WJFK.
Washington's Talk Superstation is 106.7 WJFK. Imagine a world without 106.7 WJFK.
Does your furnace need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen, big or small, whatever your home improvement need? Now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit fixitfast.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to fixitfast.servicemagic.com. That's fixitfast.servicemagic.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Hideout.
So this guy's raping dudes.
And he's going to prison. What sense does that make? That does not make any sense if you're going to sentence a dude to 99 years essentially on a playground. Mm-hmm. That's like telling John Wayne Gacy you're going to be locked up in a boys' high school locker room. Or Louis Anderson, you're going to time out in a Dunkin' Donuts.
The Hideout, Saturday nights from 6 to 9, 106.7. WJFK. Hey, you. Feeling overworked and bloated? Stressed and unappreciated? Are you lonely in your work cubicle? Just want a little WJFK to make it go away? Log on to WJFK.com and click Listen Live to listen online. WJFK is streaming 24/7 with absolutely no static. We can't, however, do anything about your little pity party, so stop calling the front desk. WJFK.com.
Washington's
Talk Superstation. Washington's Talk Superstation. 106.7. WJFK. WJFK. The Don and Mike Show.
So what I did was, I went to PayPal, and I got this thing where you can click if you've got a dispute.
It's like a grievance with PayPal. And this is the guy's reply to you.
I didn't give him bad feedback.
Have you gone to the strong arm collection end of PayPal? It's called Hey Pal. I'm so sorry.
Don and Mike. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 7.
Be ready.
106.7. WJFK.
What if there was a brand new product for weight loss that was clinically proven to help you lose 50% more weight than diet and exercise alone? Would you try it? And what if you could try it for 30 days free? Would you do it? Well, now you can with Kerr, the all-new, all-natural weight loss supplement from Sweden. Kerr is the top-selling diet supplement in all of Scandinavia. And now it's finally available in the United States. And as a special offer, you can try it for free. Call 1-800-998-9573. Unlike many diet fads, Kerr is clinically proven to help you lose weight. In fact, 50% more weight than diet and exercise alone. And with Kerr, all that extra weight you lose is fat, not muscle tone. If you could try a 30-day supply of Kerr for free by calling right now, would you do it? Why wouldn't you? Call today at 1-800-998-9573. That's 1-800-998-9573. 1-800-998-9573.
If you have to call us something, call us WJFK. Bitches. Oscar may be in his late 20s and still live with his parents. And Chad Dukes doesn't even own a car. But that doesn't mean their show isn't moving on up. Big O and Duke Show on the East Side can now be found on WJFK every weekday starting at 10 a.m. Fish don't fry in the kitchen, and Big O and Dukes don't sleep till noon anymore.
This is the worst decision-making I've ever heard.
You'll be very happy to hear the story.
It's fun if you try it.
Same two guys, all the same stupidity.
Loud and stupid would be two words I would use.
And now with a new time, 10 to 3, 106.7 WJFK. WJFK. The Don and Mike Show.
You know what my tell is?
You're quite red.
What's my tell when I get emotional? Either upset or just concerned or anything. Yeah, what's
I
my
know.
Tell?
No.
I see, I always thought it was I go to the water.
No, you go to the water when you're satisfied with yourself.
I didn't even know that myself.
I always thought your emotional tell was a blood alcohol content of 0.12 or higher.
Don and Mike, Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 7.
Be ready.
106.7. WJFK.
Are you lonely in your work cubicle? Having trouble picking up anything but staff?
Log on to WJFK. WJFK.com and click Listen Live to listen online. WJFK.com.
Too bad, it's Steve. Achoo.
Wow, you don't sound so good.
Yeah, I got a nasty cold.
Funny, you were fine yesterday.
Crazy, right? Anyway, I guess I can't come over to watch the Super Bowl tonight.
Aw. Hey, I drove by your house this morning and saw a big Samsung HD TV box on the curb. Finally got that 71 series LCD, huh?
What?
71 series. That's the one with the AutoMotion plus 120 hertz technology for incredibly sharp action. With 1080p resolution so you can see every blade of grass in the field. And comes with a free $100 gift certificate to NFLShop.com.
Yeah, how'd you know?
I just got one myself to watch the Super Bowl. Anyway, get well, man.
You know, I'm feeling much better.
Imagine an HDTV so crisp, it's like the Super Bowl has come to you. Samsung, the official HDTV of Super Bowl 42.
Samsung HDTVs, available at Best Buy and Circuit City. Purchase any qualifying Samsung HDTV 40 inches or larger and receive a $100 NFLShop.com gift certificate via mail. Offer valid from December 30th through February 3rd, 2008. Void where prohibited. Visit Samsung.com/NFL offers for full details.
Washington's Talk Superstation 106. WJFK.
All right, I want to set this up. Welcome back to Joe Radio, everybody. 1-800-636-1067, and I've got a new bit for my show. It's called my YouTube Film of the Week. I like YouTube just like you like YouTube. And this, I want to set this up so you know who it is. This is Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones trying to do an MTV promotion. And it's, I think it's hysterical because they're just a little bit wasted. Here we go. It's my YouTube clip of the week on Joe Radio.
Strange.
You're watching on stereo.
No, stereo. Is it?
You're watching, oh, stereo. You're watching MTV.
Yeah.
That does sound weird, Dan. You're listening in stereo. You're watching MTV.
Yeah, and you're listening in stereo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you say, you'll never look at music the same way again.
Right.
Okay, and what are you saying?
No.
I'm going to say...
This is Ron Wood.
No, this is Ron... I'm going to say...
This is Ron, you get the easy bit.
This is Ron Wood and Keith.
This is what I'm saying.
we are watching MTV in stereo. That's what you're going to say.
You're watching.
I wasn't going to do it. Okay, look. Your country needs this.
You demand your MTV.
Right. This is Ron Wood.
This is Keith Richards.
This is me again. So... We are watching MTV.
Start it again.
Right, go. This is Ron Wood.
And Keith Richards.
And
we're watching MTV in stereo,
and you'll never look at TV the same way again.
Start it again.
You'll never look at music.
But the in stereo was good.
It was set it together.
Okay. This is Ron Wood, Kate Richards, you're watching it on TV. In stereo, you never see TV the same way, we'll watch it again the same way.
Right.
This is a warm up. Here we go.
This is Keith Richards.
This is Ron Wood.
We're watching MTV
in stereo.
And we'll never look at music the same way again.
Perfect.
Trust a pro.
Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood. That's my YouTube clip of the week. If you go to Joe Radio 106.7 on the old good old MySpace, you can see the clip. I've embedded it there, man. To use some techno jargon, I've embedded it in my MySpace page. So check that out. It is a lot of fun. And welcome back to the show, 800-636-1067. And so that was a fascinating interview. I was just talking to my de facto producer DJ, and I've decided that we've got to have more of these conspiracy people, because there's just a wealth of stuff. You know, I don't want to make the whole show conspiracies, but I could. Who knows? It could evolve to that at some point. Could definitely evolve to that. Hey, bet you didn't know that tomorrow night is Oscar night. And maybe you did know. Maybe you care. One thing that I've noticed about movies is that if they're not smash 'em up, crash 'em up, and burn movies, now we've got these, these independent movies that they don't get a lot of publicity. So I don't even know. Now, I know who Daniel Day-Lewis is. I might hope he gets the Oscar just because I've heard his name. There are so many other people out there that I don't know who they are. And really, with the writer's strike and everything, is it really going to be a great Oscars? The weather's not even good out there right now. Jon Stewart will be your host for the Oscars. And I guess he'll do a good job, but I don't know. Whatever happened to caring about the Oscars? You know, nobody watches the Grammys anymore. Nobody watches... Jeez, I don't even think... Well, maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm dating myself in the fact that... nobody watches the MTV Awards anymore. You know, in the 80s, I mean, that was a reason to sit around the television set and party. And nobody even parties anymore. What's up with that anyway? Nobody even parties anymore, so... Anyway, let's take a call because here's John calling from Gaithersburg. He wants to talk about the lizard people. John!
Hey!
How are you?
Okay, hey, listen, I don't know about George Bush and all this lizard stuff, but, you know, John McCain's got those T-Rex arms.
You're a listener to the Don and Mike show.
Yes, I am.
He does, you know, and there's a guy, you remember Matt the intern? We broke him in on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that he has little tiny hands, too. Have you seen the tiny hand commercial where the guy can't hold a Whopper because he's got tiny hands?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, it's hysterical. Look it up. It's probably on the Burger King website. But, yeah, Matt's got these small hands, too. Maybe McCain's a lizard person. You know, you have to look him in the eye. Anyway, thanks for the call, John.
Hey.
And thanks for listening, and thanks for listening to the Don and Mike show as well. You know, Don got a write-up in the Post coming out tomorrow. I think we're all looking forward to reading that. I saw his picture. I can't remember what website it was. DC Post? Something like that. It might have been DC Post website. But he's looking dapper in his sports jacket, and he's in the studio that we work in Rockville. But tonight I'm here in Fairfax. I'm with you in Fairfax, and this studio has held up well tonight. I know my first show things went wrong a little bit, and you know in my second show things went wrong. Hey, things go wrong all the time, right? So, but you know, John raises a good point. McCain, Obama. You think Senator Obama is a reptile person? He could be. Hillary, most definitely. I think Hillary's got scales. Yeah, I think so. So there you go, reptile people. What's next? What do you want to do next in the conspiracy network? One of my favorites are the Illuminati. You know, the people that pull all the strings all over the world and have since the beginning of time. You know, they have roots in the ancient orders of the Knights Templar and all that good stuff. We've got UFOs. I've never seen a UFO. So I wouldn't know what direction. Oh, I've never seen a reptile guy, though. I think I'm more interested in reptile people than UFOs. We talk ghosts. In my first show with Catherine Ramslin, and we'll definitely revisit the ghost thing in the future. We got to be down with some more ghost stories. Oh, and we got urban legends now. I've been talking about this with people, and everybody wants to do the urban legends. And I know that it'll be just 2 hours of great times when we talk about the Bunny Man here in Fairfax, the Bunny Man Bridge, which is not far from my house. You know, it's got a road running through it now. I think I recall when I was a kid, and I say kid, but, you know, when we were just getting our driver's licenses and stuff and we could drive around Fairfax for the first time, Bunny Man Bridge was a cul-de-sac, a dirt road, and a cul-de-sac where we'd go down and party. And, of course, we'd talk about the Bunny Man, and everybody would get freaked out, and it was a good way to get the girls closer to you. But you've got the Mothman, West Virginia. Now, that's a great story. Look that one up on the internet. And we've got, there's the Goat Man in Beltsville, Maryland. Apparently, an experiment gone awry at a mental institution up there. There's Mothmen everywhere. There's another Mothman in South Carolina or North Carolina. But we'll figure that all out on the Urban Legends show. And I'm going to do that one as we get closer to summer because a lot of these things are stories that you hear and go explore when you're younger in the summertime. So we're definitely going to do the urban legends coming up soon. I can't think of any other conspiracies, but they constantly evolve and come up all the time. I do like the Illuminati and the people that rule the world. But, you know, for all we know, for what we figured out, the lizard men rule the world. So, until next time, I'm glad we've had this time. My time is your time. Joe Radio, 106.7 WJFK, and Joe Radio 106.7 on MySpace, and Joe Radio 106.7 AOL.com. I mean, I'm walking 10 feet off the ground. I'm going to go read about lizard men all night long and scare myself. And, you know, I did YouTube lizard men, and apparently there's a ton of stuff that I'd never seen before. So that's what I'm doing tonight, because, hey, I'm a happening guy.
The only thing we have to fear is
lizard men. So thanks again for listening. Thanks for calling in. There's something I'm forgetting to mention. Well, you know, next week, I don't know who we'll have on next week, but go to Joe Radio 106.7 at MySpace. Oh, I know what I wanted to mention. All the great shows.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do.
All the great shows on WJFK, and that would be Junkies in the Morning, Big O and Dukes, Middays, Don and Mike Show. You know, that's the one where I take your calls or hang up on you. Before we pass them on to Don and Mike Show in the afternoons and Jim Rome at night. And don't forget Hefe and Dubs on the weekends. And, of course, myself, Joe Radio, and BDK's Movie Show. Forgot about that one. So you've got plenty of things to do. How can you keep your house clean and your yard clean when you've got so much good radio to listen to? That's it. I'm Joe Hardinger. I'm out of here. Keep looking for the ponies.
Talk Superstation. 106.7 WJFK. Washington's Talk Superstation. 106.7 WJFK. WJFK. The Don and Mike Show.
Jessica Simpson or Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
She's real.
Well, she doesn't have any other guys.
Yeah.
Like Spoogies on her.
She doesn't have Lachey Spoogies. Probably Nick Andrew.
Kid Rock and every other piece of garbage she slept with.
Kid Rock. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near where Kid Rock had been. All sorts of like Waffle House BD cooties.
Don and Mike. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 7.
Be ready.
106.7. WJFK.
If you have acne, here's a phone number you need to call. 1-800-335-4191. Right now, we're looking for the biggest skeptics out there to test out a skin-clearing breakthrough risk-free. People who are sick and tired of wasting money on acne products that just don't work. If that's you, give us a call. We're going to prove you can make your acne disappear and have clear skin by sending you a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution absolutely risk-free with our compliments. Find out how to get your risk-free 60-day trial by calling 1-800-335-4191. Our combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin and skeptics into believers. You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial by calling now toll-free 1-800-335-4191. 1-800-335-4191.
Each one teach one. Love is where we reach from. The know is spreading. You can feel it all around. It's where the lost become found. The know is spreading. Truth can breathe here. And strength won't believe fear. The know is spreading. What you think you are. Now we know to think far. The know is spreading. Get an HIV test. Learn more at nohivaids.org.
I'm Mike Wallace.
If you're seriously depressed, there is nothing, repeat, nothing to be ashamed of. Millions suffer from depression, including some of the most creative and successful people. Depression is a medical disease that can be effectively treated. Even if you feel helpless and hopeless, these are typical symptoms of depression that go away with the right treatment, so please get help. If you do, you can beat it, just as I did. Learn more at cbscares.tv.
The music of David Crosby has touched the souls of millions.
I figure I'm one of the luckiest human beings in the world. I really, absolutely love playing music. And to be given another chance at life is the most incredible gift. Being able to be with my wife, who I'm really in love with, and being able to see this little boy get born.
3 years ago, he was fighting for his life.
I needed a transplant, and I needed it immediately. And I remember I would be scared to go to sleep at night because I'd be afraid I wouldn't wake up.
Thanks to the generosity of an organ and tissue donor, his life was saved.
The amount of gratitude you feel isn't easy to describe. It's my job to try and express things like that. And I'm stuck for words.
Share your decision to become an organ and tissue donor with your family today. Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Good people listening to WJFK. I am Stryker.
And I'm Dr. Drew.
It doesn't matter what color it is, how many bumps there are, or how much it burns. If you have it...
Well, I've actually seen it, and we'll talk about it.
Loveline.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline.
Tonight at 10 on Loveline on 106.7 WJFK.
Hey, you. Feeling overworked and bloated? Stressed and unappreciated? Are you lonely in your work cubicle? Just want a little WJFK to make it go away?
Log on to WJFK.com and click Listen Live to listen online. WJFK is streaming 24/7 with absolutely no static. We can't, however, do it.
If you want smart, respectful, classy radio hosts,
then you better hit scan.